you that you are here in this room, that we come to you with these prayer requests, with our praises, with our thanksgiving this morning, knowing that our prayers don't fall on deaf ears, that you are here in this room, your presence is here, you live with inside of us, your spirit is actively working, and Lord, I pray that this weekend, Lord, that we would have a spirit of thanksgiving, Lord, that we would remember where we receive our blessing from, where we receive our protection, where we receive our shelter, where we receive our provision, relationships from, and family. God, I pray that this week we would have a thankful heart and give the glory and honor to you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Hey, Celia, could you mind just switching the computer?
We're going to continue in the book of Malachi.
Hey, we've been walking through Malachi.
Next week we'll have Patrick Smith will be coming in to give us God's Word.
But I wanted to start out this
morning with just showing you a few visuals, okay?
A few visuals, just so you can take a look, okay?
I want you to do, I don't know if any of you have seen
this, it's called the Enigma. Basically, if you kind of stare, just kind of look at the middle of this optical illusion, you can kind of, if it works right, if you're tired, it helps. I don't know. If you're not tired, it helps. But sometimes you can kind of see kind of like an energy or something going around the circles. If you look at the middle, all right? Can you guys see it? It's kind of a funky effect that happens in your brain. All right? See it? It's like an energy, isn't it? It's like wild. I know. Okay. How about this one? It's called...
What is this called? Rotating snakes, this is called.
Okay. So again, there's nothing, of course... Nothing, of course, actually moving on the screen, but as you kind of look at different spots, you can kind of see that when you're not looking in the corner of your eye, you can see other of the circles... Kind of a weird
effect. See, for us,
it kind of appears that these visuals are moving, right? And of course, we know that basically, I know at least kind of what I read, at least with this one, the snake one, is that there are small movements in our eye, and so the way that we interpret it is that as we look away, you know, we see some rotation or movement. But we know that actually, again, that there's nothing moving at all. It's us, it's our eyes, it's the way that we perceive it that actually causes it to move, and there is nothing there at all that has any kind of movement at all.
And this is kind of what the people
in Malachi are thinking right now. They are like with their relationship with God.
In the sense that they are like,
hey, last week we talked about they asked, where's the God of justice, you know? And
where is God
when we see
all this stuff, other Christians around us who are not walking with God, why does he seem to approve of
wrongdoing, of evil? And where is the God of
justice? All right?
And for them,
they were like, hey, it seems
as though as if God has done the moving. God has moved away from us. God has kind of left us. And God was like, no, it wasn't me who moved.
It wasn't my justice who's
changed.
I've always been the same. I've always been the same just God. It's you guys
who have done kind of the moving
away. All right? And so this is kind of the big idea, the kind of the main idea of
the passage that we're looking at today, is that when there is a relational distance between us and God, we've got to remember that it's never God that's moved away. It's always us that's moved away. Because God's character
always stays the same. And who He is and His pursuit of us. And it's us that needs to return back to Him. Okay, so let's go ahead and dig into our passage.
If you're following along in your Bibles, we're in Malachi 3, starting in verse 6. Malachi 3:6 says this:
I am the Lord and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and
failed to obey them. Now return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of the heaven's armies. So again, in the context of what's going on,
There is judgment
coming
in to Judah. God says
in the previous verses, look, I'm looking forward to putting you all on trial, to being a witness, to say, like, hey, all of you guys have been, again, marrying those who are outside of the Christian faith. You guys have not been tithing. You guys have not been bringing anything. You've been offering your second best. I am looking forward to
being a witness against this. Okay? Just so you know,
my justice has not changed. So here's the context. And Yahweh states,
in the very beginning says, continuing off this thought, says,
hey, look,
I am not going to
change.
My nature as being Yahweh,
the God I am, I, the Lord, do not change. Okay?
Theologians have kind of used a word to describe this
characteristic of God. It's a 50-cent word, and they say,
they call it, this is God's immutability. Okay? That is, His
character is the same now as it was a million years ago, as it will be a million years from now.
Okay?
In the future. And for those Hebrews, for those Israelites, back in Malachi's time, this was a very important thing, okay, to understand that God
does not change.
Because at that time, they believed the nations around them, and that during this time, the nations believed that gods were very
fickle, right? Like
the Assyrians, they had conquered the Israelites,
and they said, hey, our God created humanity
to serve the gods, all right? To serve the gods. But then all of a sudden, their God would change on them, change their mind, and kind of wipe them out, as He did with the Assyrians.
Okay.
But for the Hebrews, for the Israelites, it's like, hey, we have a God who remains the same always. Will never change. You can always trust in who I am and what I
say that I will do, I will do.
And so
what's being painted here, what's
kind of being laid out here is a contrast. God's beginning to focus, Yahweh is beginning to focus on the relationship between His people and God. This is what I want When he's talking through Malachi, this is what I want you to focus on. The relationship between me as God and you as my people.
All right. And he's
painting a contrast between, hey, I am a God who does not change, and you people have
not followed my decrees.
When it comes to a covenant, when it
comes to a promises that we make
with God, and we enter into this covenant,
or at least
during the time of Malachi, these folks would waver. They'd go back and forth. They would say, sometimes, yes, we're with you, God. We'll follow you in all our ways.
We'll follow your decrees.
We'll walk with you. And then other times, they'd be like, who was that God that we once knew? Or, we like you, God. We'll set you on a shelf. We like you in our back pocket when we need you. but we'll call on you when we need you. If life is getting bad, we'll call on you when we need you. All right? And so God's painting a contrast. Hey, look, I'm as solid as a rock. I'm an anchor. And you guys float back and forth. Do you see that sometimes with us? Sometimes? You know, like, definitely, when things get tough, we definitely pull out the God out of our pocket and say, Lord, I need you. You know, I'm looking for you. I want you. But when things may be going good in our life, or maybe we're just kind of feeling a little complacent or feeling apathetic towards God, we kind of put him on the shelf and kind of forget to follow his ways, forget to walk with him, forget to listen to him, forget to obey him. You see that the covenant that God made with Abraham and his descendants was a permanent one. All right? This promise that he had made way back when he's talking with the Hebrews here was a permanent one. And it may be breached by the Israelites, but God would never let it come to an end. God will never just bail out on us. Okay? And so the same it is for us. Okay? It's the same case for us. Maybe this week you know that you haven't been walking with God. Maybe there's something in your past this week that you know, and you maybe even feel distant from God, or feel a sense of conviction from God, or feel rotten because of the way something that you have done this week. You have gone outside of what God desires for you. Who knows how that might be? But each of you know kind of how, where you are right now and kind of your walk. But that doesn't change the fact that no matter what you've done this week, no matter how rotten you feel, that doesn't change the fact that God is your dad. All right? I know just in our relationships with Jesus Christ, in our relationships as we walk with Him, sometimes the way that we are brought up, sometimes the way that that the society works, that families work, sometimes we feel, hey, if we have done something bad, we're in the doghouse for whatever we've done. We feel that our worth, our relationship, our worth has changed, right? People feel rotten. They stay rotten. Like, I'm not worthy to be forgiven. I'm not worthy. But I tell you that no matter what you've done, God is still your father. He's still your dad, and that will never change. No matter what you do now, no matter what you do in the future, if you are in Christ, His immutability, His unchanging character, He will never say, well, you bailed out on me, I'm bailing out on you. Okay? You've done something against me, you've done something wrong against me, I've had enough of you, I'm leaving. I'm not going to be your father anymore. He'll never do it. He'll never do it. He can't do it, actually, because it is part of who he is and his character. But there was a problem that he had with these folks, all right? There was a problem that he had with the Israelites. The people were doing something which was creating a distance in their relationship with their father, with Yahweh. They were committing acts, behavior that was creating distance between the relationship between their father. It wasn't breaking that relationship of father, son, father, daughter, but they were doing something that was creating a kind of a distance. This is what he had to say. But you ask, how can we return when we've never gone away?
Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you ask, how have we robbed you? You have robbed me of the
tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse.
For your whole nation has been robbing me. All right? So under this
system that
the Israelites were operating under, the tithe
was a required contribution. All right? In the Mosaic Law, this was set up so that, hey, we have a system here that we can take care of the
priests and the Levites,
and we want you, people of followers of God, to bring a tenth of your produce into the temple of God. All right?
It was decreed a tenth of all produce was holy to the Lord in Leviticus 27, 30, and it was intended
for the purpose of the Levites.
In Numbers 18, 28. And so Israel was admonished to bring the tithe and everything God had commanded to the sanctuary and eat it before the Lord. All right, so actually they did actually,
when they brought food in, they actually didn't just let it sit there on the table. They actually did eat the food as they brought it into the temple.
But what is happening here is
like this, okay? A mother,
a mom
gives little Johnny a couple of quarters as he goes into church, as he's walking to church, okay? And of course, as he has these two quarters,
Johnny
takes out one of the quarters as he's walking towards church, and he begins to
flip it up
in the air, right? And the mom said to Johnny before he went to church, she gave him the two quarters. She said, "Hey, you know what? As you go into church, here's one quarter for your tithe when you get to church, and here's one quarter for
ice cream on the way home."
Although ice cream doesn't cost a quarter anymore. All right. So Johnny takes the two quarters, and he's walking, and he takes the one quarter out of his pocket, and he's playing with it, and he's flipping it, and he
flips it, and flips it 10,
20
times, whatever. But
maybe whatever umpteenth time he flips it, he loses the quarter. It falls onto the ground. He looks, it rolls, and it drops into the sewer. And little Johnny, what does he do? He looks up into the air and he says, "God, I'm sorry I lost your tithe." Right? Right? See, that's how it is. So the point is, again, is that a lot of times, again, what we do oftentimes is we say, okay, what's left over is what I have for the ice cream, right? It's not for what God wants me to give first, the first tenth out of what He's given to me. And this is again, kind of the attitude
that the
covenant people were
having at this time. They were essentially robbing God. They were essentially saying, "No, this is mine. Okay, this is not yours." And so what happened is that God had
put them. God had said, "Okay, this is how it'll be if you guys are moving away." What happens is within a promise, God can make a promise in a relationship with us. The Father, Son and Father, Daughter and Father will never change. That will never go away, never be altered. But within that relationship, God can discipline us, right? So what happens is that God said, "Okay, you're not going to give. I'm going to take the crops that you harvest, and I'm going to send a drought, and I'm going to send and locust, and they're going to eat a lot of your produce,
a lot of your things that you were trying to raise."
And so they were under a curse. And so the problem was the people were creating distance in the relationship by robbing God. Still their father, but the covenant relationship with them has a distance. All right. So I want to ask you: is there a way that you are right now? We've gone through most of the book of Malachi, and we've seen some of the
problems that the people are dealing. We've seen again that
they are giving their second best to God when it comes to their time, when it comes to their resources, when it comes to their worship, they're giving half hearts. And this is creating a distance, a separation, a distance between the relationship. the people were, the Levites, the leaders were again, last week I talked about how they were marrying other people outside of the relationship of God. They were connecting with others so that they were being pulled away from God. And now they're not bringing in, they're withholding their tithes. And that is creating a distance from God. Is there something that, for you, this past week, something, a pattern that you are not following, that you are not obeying from God, that is creating some sort of distance? Is it even what the issue is here? Is it even tithing? I know I've talked with you guys about, we've gone through passages on money before, and I challenged you guys, hey, you know what, I know that, again, some of you, those of you who work, some of you have jobs. We pretty much employ most of Kumon, all right, in this church, okay? But a lot of you don't. But I know that most of you, many of you, do get allowances, you know, something from your parents. Maybe it's weekly, maybe it's monthly, maybe it's just when you need it. I don't know. But in regards to this, I want to challenge you to begin to think of this relationship, because again, tithing is in part about the relationship. Okay. Pastors many times are always afraid to talk about these passages on tithing, you know, because it's like a source of fundraising for the church or something like that.
We need to get the offering filled, you know.
That's not the case here. I'm not telling you to remember to tithe out of what God has given you, out of your increase, for the purpose of
raising our offering for the church.
I am telling you
to begin to give, get into a pattern of giving
to God, okay? Certainly, you can look at the kingdom work that our budget is, you can lay out and say, hey, are we being good stewards? Are we being
wise with our budget? Okay? Is it going towards kingdom work? But I'm telling you to get into a pattern of tithing, because
it is about this relationship. Okay, between you and God, between us as a people and God. Okay?
He's calling right now. Alright?
So, this is what the Lord tells the people to do. Okay? He says, you want to get back into a relationship with me? You want to experience me again? You want to return? I want you to return to me, and I want to return to you. He says, this is what I want you to do. Okay, bring all the tithes into the
storehouses. There will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of
heaven for you.
I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it.
Put me to the test.
Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from the insects and disease, from drought and locusts.
Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heavens of armies. And then the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord
of the heavens of armies. Heaven's armies.
Okay, so what he says is, if you want to renew your relationship with me, begin to follow my decrees. Begin to obey me again. Enter in, engage with me again, okay? Engage with me again. He's not saying, hey, people, I'm poor, I need some money. God's not saying, I'm a little low on fundage here, and so I could use some of your coins. He's not saying that. He's saying, I want to engage with you again. I want you to engage with me again. So bring back the tithes that I had told you to, and we'll
see, we'll enter into that relationship again.
We'll renew our relationship again. All right? We know that we've returned back to the Lord. Okay, if you are one of those folks that I've described, maybe you are feeling a conviction. Maybe you are
feeling a distance with the Lord.
we know that we have returned back to Him. We know that we've repented. You know, we've talked about repenting and turning around. When we begin to obey Him, okay? Take a look at this. Many of you have, maybe some of you, it's a kind of an older book. This comes from like experiencing God. But this is what happens. This is what God wants. So many of these pastors talk about, hey, this is a passage about tithing, and certainly it is. But it's more about a
relationship.
Okay? First, God says,
hey, God gives them a
word. He says, listen to my word. I want you to bring back the tithes into the temple. All right? Once we do that, and we say, okay, I want to re-engage with you, come back. This is where we come back and we re-engage in a relationship with Him. In obedience, okay? And God says, hey, when you obey me, folks, I will open up the floodgates, okay? I will pour out, and He kind of uses imagery of rain, kind of. Rain down on you, letting them know that, hey, your crops will be abundant, and I will protect them from locusts. You will experience my abundance. Even though right now there's a drought, you don't have a lot of crops and so forth, once you take a chance and risk, you've heard my word, once you risk saying, I will choose to obey you, I'm going to step out, okay, I'll start bringing a tenth of my produce back, then
I will show you. I will
reveal myself.
Experience me
pouring out my abundance on you, so much so that you will have an overabundance, okay? You experience God and you say, the people go, oh, what He said is true. We took a risk. We obeyed what we heard what He said. We obeyed it. We took a risk. What He said, He followed through with. Now I know I can trust God. Now I know I've experienced God in a new way, and our faith is built up, okay? Then again, sometime later, we hear God's word again. And He says, He comes back to us and says, now I want you to do this.
Okay,
whatever it is. Another risk. And we say, oh, you know what? I obeyed Him once. I experienced Him. I saw Him follow through. Now I know I have a trust in Him. Now I know that He will follow through with what He says.
And this is kind of how we have a relationship
with Him. This is how we build our faith with Him. This is how we have re-enter and renew a relationship with Him. So for you today, maybe it is tithing, okay? Maybe you have a job. Maybe you do have
allowance.
And God says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin tithing. And again, it doesn't matter. If you get a dollar, I know you guys, say it's just a dollar and you bring in 10 cents to drop in that box or to drop in the box in the Chinese ministry, that's fine. God is not looking for large dollar amounts, okay? To enter into a relationship with you.
He wants to renew that relationship
with you. You've heard a word. Will you obey Him? Will you obey Him? Now, I know that some pastors use this. There are some kind of claim it and name it type of kind of pastors' messages that come out of this saying, okay, what God is talking about here is that if you get $1, pretty soon in the mail, you'll get $10 back or something like that. But that's poor context of the Bible. Okay? It's poor, using the context in a wrong way in the Bible. Like I said, in this case, what God is most interested in is renewing the relationship with the people. I want you guys, I see you guys are complacent and you're apathetic. I want you to engage with me. And
here's how I'll
show you that once you engage with me, I'm
with you. I've returned to you.
You've returned to me.
So whatever
that is, and this doesn't have to work just with tithing. Maybe it's working through a relationship in your family. You know that God says, hey, I know that when
you get into an argument with your
family,
God's word says, take care of it
quickly, before the sun goes down, right? which means doesn't mean you have to actually resolve the argument before the sun goes down. It just means take care of it quickly. You obey Him. When you obey Him, you'll experience Him. When you experience Him, I'll say, hey, God helped me in it. My faith was built up. I've got trust in Him. I'll do it again because I see God working in my life because I chose to take a risk and obey Him. Okay? All right? So, the passage today is about staying in a relationship with Him. All right? Renewing your relationship with Him. This is what He wants. He wants the people to engage with Him again. He doesn't want, you know, to raise up $1,000 or something like that. Okay? Well, next week we'll continue. Actually, in 2 weeks we'll continue. We'll finish off our study in Malachi. But why don't I close this in prayer? Heavenly Father, You are waiting for us. You are waiting for us to follow after You, to obey You, to be obedient. Because obedience, Lord, as we've learned today, obedience is a relationship with You. It's how we begin to experience You. And maybe there's someone in this room right now who knows that they need to do something. They know what Your Word says. And they just need to risk obeying You. But Father, we know that You are a covenant God, that You are immutable. That You never change, Your character is never altered, that You will always be faithful, that You always seek our goodness, that You are a holy God, desiring to make us like You, molding us to and shaping us to be like You. So we know that we can trust You. Lord, help us to begin to obey You, even in the area of tithing. Lord, Your Word says that if we are faithful with little, You'll give us more to be faithful with for Your kingdom purposes. So, Lord, even if it is 10 cents, even if it is just a small portion, what You're looking for from us is faithfulness. And what You're looking from us is to engage You in a relationship. Help us to do this. Empower us to do this, to follow after You. In all of our ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.